and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
If there was another person, it'd be me, and it's Cody Johnston. Very bad job, Cody. Hi.
And joining us today, I believe the uncontested, most times recurring champion on Even More News, David Bell.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Love me.
We love you. We love to see it.
Yeah.
I love this for us.
I love to be seen.
I mean, you're not even a guest. You're a host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I'm like the guest that doesn't leave. Like the guest that crashes on the couch. And like, yeah. I'll do the dishes sometimes.
Paul Schaefer.
Right? Yeah.
You're Paul Schaefer. Oh. Love that. Hey guys, you're gonna love this.
What
Happy Denim Day. Cool.
Oh, okay.
Canada, right. Your time to shine. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything better than that joke. But then I was like, why is it called a Canadian tuxedo? And do you guys know the answer to this? I've got it in front of me. If you don't worry.
I assume it's like loggers, Mounties. It's just in Canada, you often wear denim to do outdoors stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a good guess. It's wrong, but it's a good guess. This is from Wikipedia, so you know. A Canadian tuxedo is a colloquial term for wearing a jean shirt or denim jacket with jeans. The term reportedly originated in 1951 after Bing Crosby was refused entry to a hotel in Vancouver, British Columbia. I said that weird. British Columbia.
I said Canada, so.
Sure. He was refused entry because he was wearing a denim top and denim bottoms. After learning of the incident, Levi Strauss & Co. designed a tuxedo made entirely of denim for Cosby as a publicity stunt. Despite its name, the Canadian tuxedo is not a specifically Canadian style, but is closely correlated with images in American pop culture, such as the Marlboro Man. So,
Crosby, not Cosby, right? I should clarify.
Did I say Bing Cosby?
Cosby was
Bing
mentioned.
Crosby. Well, right. I didn't mean to.
I'm sure our listeners understand that Bill Cosby had nothing to do with the Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah,
this has gone off the rails.
Yeah, that's all right. We don't need rails.
No,
who needs rails
where we're going, we don't need rails. Real quick, thanks to HelloFresh for supporting Even More News. Go to HelloFresh.com/morenews12 and use code morenews12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Eh?
Ooh.
Eh?
Ooh.
Brought it back around to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
How's it going, buddy?
You know, it's pretty okay. I am 2 weeks out of my second shot, meaning that I am officially able to go out and interact with the world. I went out once, and let me tell you, folks, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I saw Mortal Kombat in theaters.
Wow, how was that?
It was exactly what I needed a Mortal Kombat to be.
Well, I meant the experience of being in a theater, but yeah.
Oh, it was exhausting. You have to go. You have to drive. Okay, first of all, you have to get in your car.
Oh,
You still gotta wear a mask, just because you gotta wear a mask.
You're although more the on that in a moment.
Sure, but in the sake of going to a mall, there's So you park. You have to park, and that's its own thing. And then you gotta walk into the mall, and then there's like other people, and you gotta not be weird.
Yeah.
And then you gotta wait if you're seeing it with somebody, you have to sit there and you gotta wait, and you're just standing in the mall, and it's terrifying. And then you have to interact with a person, and you have to do the ticket thing, and then they're like, that'll be this much money, and you realize you have to take out your credit card.
Oh boy.
And you have to like stick it in the thing and pay. You gotta find your seats. It's exhausting.
You're not really painting a rosy or compelling picture of life post-vax.
I forgot how much work it is to exist in society. You gotta wear pants. You gotta wear pants.
You know, I don't know if I've talked about this on a show, but I've certainly talked about it in my life. I miss going to a bar and being social with people. In theory, I do not miss driving someplace. I do not miss looking for parking. I actually don't even miss being in those spaces and talking loudly over people and ambient noise and paying $15 for a weak drink, you know?
Right.
Not that I can even really drink anymore. This year's ruined me. I have no tolerance. But like, as hard and as weird as social distance hangs have been, because I do find them a little stressful, I've really enjoyed being able to just have people sit 6 feet away and have an actual conversation and not shout over things, you know?
Yeah. What I'm mostly excited for is hanging out in an intimate setting with people I know.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be great. Everything else is like, I don't know. I can take it or leave it. Yeah.
We've inched closer. I have gotten my second dose. Both myself and my boyfriend have, we have not passed the full 2 week waiting period. We've got one more week of waiting before fully vaccinated, but he had last night actually, cooked dinner for some of his closest guy friends who are all fully vaccinated. They've, you know, and so we're the missing link. So they had dinner outside and, you know, it was a really cool thing, you know, to finally have friendship in a shared space and like not freak out every 5 seconds when someone crosses by you.
Oh yeah.
One day.
I am so down with just not having to think about this anymore. My life's not going to change that much. I never left my apartment that much. But just going to like take a walk or going to see a movie, going to dinner. That's what I really miss is going to dinner. Just going out to dinner with people. Mm-hmm. That sounds terrific.
That sounds really great, yeah.
That's going to be the first thing that I do when I'm fully there and my girlfriends are you know, all vaccinated, have a dinner. Actually, the first thing I'm going to do is get a 90-minute deep tissue massage.
Nice.
That said,
I'm gonna sneeze.
You're gonna sneeze?
Yeah, just like around people.
Nice.
You can sneeze anywhere you want now.
Exactly.
I'm so happy for all of us. Mm-hmm.
All of our good plans.
We are really lucky. I'm gonna bring this around to the news.
We gotta do it.
It's what we're here for. We're really lucky. Currently more than half of American adults have received at least one dose of the vaccine, which is great. And now the hard part is making sure people show up for their second dose. Mm-hmm. Show up for your second dose. You need it.
Yeah, if you don't, you explode.
You do. You die.
Yeah.
On the spot. It's riskier than just getting COVID. But the other hard part is convincing the second half of this country. You know, did you guys know this? That Frank Luntz, I was listening to this American Life, and Frank Luntz was actually started working with some company to try and figure out how to message to reluctant Americans, you know, these are predominantly Trump voters who are also anti-vaccine. And it was fascinating because it seems like a real uphill battle in order, because at other times, like in the 1918 flu, people generally, there's always people that, you know, protest the government, but people generally followed guidelines a little bit better than now, because everything's so politicized. It's all wrapped up. That's tough.
First of all, Frank Luntz helped the GOP change their talking points on climate change.
I know.
To downplay that.
That's why I shouldn't be doing this anymore at all. I guess that I should have given more context. I bring that up because
he gets the job done.
He's been very good at messaging to conservative voters.
Sure.
And even he is coming on board to try to convince them to get vaccinated.
Yeah. This isn't like a
Luntz apology tour either.
No, they lose their voters if they all don't
die.
Get vaccinated and die.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad someone's on it. Like, you know, if I had like a loved one that was struggling with understanding this, I would certainly be there to help them. But like, as far as I'm concerned, it's like, okay, I'm glad someone else is doing it.
Yeah.
It's not my concern. I can't, I can't deal with that, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
good though that someone's.
Well, it has to happen. I mean,
right? That's the problem. It does become our problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's our universal problem. And I'll transition this because it goes hand in hand. Today, the CDC said that fully vaccinated people can go without masks outside, except if you're in large crowds, you know, people you don't know, sporting events and whatnot. And I understand why people want that kind of information. It is a question you have, especially if you're just like going out for a walk, you know, walking your dog around the corner. But at this point in time, when we're struggling to get the rest of the country on board with being vaccinated, and there's no way to, you know, check like if somebody's been vaccinated or not, you know, it seems dicey right now.
Yeah.
And confusing for different states. Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, also the outdoor stuff has generally been true-ish for a while. Like,
yes,
the outside, no mask, you're going for a walk. That's like minuscule risk. I think also I read something today. There's just more like polling and stuff of like the communication and being able to communicate to people. No one's been good at it this entire time. It's been very, very not a great job. But like people were specifically Republican men more likely to accept the idea of wearing a mask inside when they found out you don't have to wear one outside unless you're in like large groups. So like when it is more of a definable, like it's okay here, just make sure to do it here. Like these very like rigid like and defined rules, they were more accepting of like, okay, I'll fucking put on a mask when I go in the grocery store. It's fine.
Right.
As opposed to just this like, always wear one, no matter what. That's when the resistance really...
that's interesting.
Aside from other factors, but yeah, I found that interesting.
It is interesting because like for me, the opposite's true. The reason like, yeah, it's that thing where it's like, yeah, I'm sure outside in like a large area, you don't need a mask. But for me, it's like, I just don't want to think about it. So I just wear the mask. And I assumed that's what the messaging was just like, wear a mask, just wear a mask.
Right.
So we didn't have to lay out all these like, wear a mask here, 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 and here. It's too confusing.
Right. Exactly. It seemed like they were trying to, reduce any confusion. But in doing so, they kind of caused more for some people.
And this, to me, is confusing.
Yeah, now if you see someone with a child in public with a mask, you got to call the police.
You have to call the child protective services.
It's wild. I can't believe we're living in this definite reality. Johnson & Johnson has been cleared for use again. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yes, that brief pause. It just needed a little vacay, you know, to collect itself. But now I want to talk about India, because while things are looking better for us here in the States, that is not true in other places. And turns out the United States is actually kind of standing in the way of these other places being able to get a hold on the pandemic. Oh,
it can't be possible. Us?
Yes,
standing in the way?
The good old us?
Of progress?
Yeah. So hard to believe, I know. Let's talk about India, which as of Sunday had over 17 million cases. This is from CNN. On Monday, India reported 352,991 new cases and 2,812 virus-related deaths, marking the world's highest daily caseload for the fifth straight day. Several Delhi hospitals tweeted SOS messages over the weekend, appealing for oxygen supplies. On Saturday, at least 20 critically ill patients died after oxygen supply was delayed at one Delhi hospital. How did they get there? It seems pretty familiar in many ways. Well, part of the problem is that I believe it's just SII. I think it's the largest vaccine component manufacturer. It was supposed to provide 100 million doses, but there was a fire in January, which delayed things. And the demand is very high in India, which means that that production delay is going to also affect other poorer nations that are also waiting on vaccine supplies. You know, India is very dense in certain parts, you know, and there's been a lot of criticism of the administration, how they've handled the pandemic in general. There's been campaigning, big campaign events. Anyway, it all sounds very familiar to what we have gone through at times. What is the United States doing to help? I believe this is from CNN. The United States is working around the clock to deploy available resources and supplies, National Security Council spokeswoman Emily Horn said in a statement. She said the United States would send raw materials required for India to manufacture the Covishield vaccine, as well as therapeutics, rapid diagnostic tests, ventilators, and protective equipment for frontline workers. Which sounds good, but it's not. It's not enough, really, simply put. This is actually from Yahoo. As vaccine supplies now outstrip demand, the Biden administration announced it will send up to 60 million doses to countries around the world. But only after regulatory review, experts estimate that could mean doses will reach them by the end of May. End of May.
That's a little while.
Yeah. But the real thing that I wanted to talk to is how the United States is actively standing in the way of opening up the vaccine patent so that less affluent countries could actually manufacture vaccines and treatments for themselves. Yeah, this is from CNBC. The US, Canada, and UK are among some of the high-income countries actively blocking a patent waiver proposal designed to boost the global production of COVID-19 vaccines. It comes as coronavirus cases worldwide surge to their highest level so far, and the World Health Organization has repeatedly admonished the shocking imbalance in the distribution of vaccines amid the pandemic. The landmark proposal, which was jointly submitted by India and South Africa in October, has been backed by more than 100, mostly developing countries. It aims to facilitate the manufacture of treatments locally and boost the global vaccination campaign. 6 months on, the proposal continues to be stonewalled by a small number of governments, including the US, EU, UK, Switzerland, Japan, Norway, Canada, Australia, and Brazil. And that's fucked up. It's fucked up, you guys. To date, apparently 1 in 4 people in high-income nations have received a COVID vaccine, compared to 1 in over 500 people in low-income countries. You can't continue at this rate. Like, I mean, there's a likelihood, there's a possibility that poorer countries would never get everybody vaccinated.
Yeah. I mean, India is packed with people. So it's already a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
And I mean, as we sort of alluded to, the virus could mutate.
Yes.
And then it doesn't matter if we're vaccinated. And it just shows how fucked up capitalism is, where we're like, well, we can't just like give it to them. We can't do that. And it's like, but we're literally shooting ourselves in the foot. But I wonder if, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but like maybe the people who are like, we don't care, they don't care if the virus mutates because it just gives them more stuff.
Oh, that's
do.
Not a conspiracy theory. That's, like you said, that's capitalism, right?
That's like,
yeah, it just feels, yeah, I hate it. I hate,
and you can't like
feeling,
yeah,
that
and
way.
You can't say like this specific person or that, or like, oh, it's this person's doing it because they want more, but
right.
It's like, yeah, generally, that's how the system is.
It's so fucked up.
Works.
It's like, I mean, but yeah, if you don't want to do it for the obvious moral reasons of, people should have access to life-saving information. Okay, there's the
right.
fact that this shit won't end, that it will mutate. Like, I
always tend to skip over that factor, but yes, the first and foremost, people are dying, and that's why
and
you should
also,
do it, because it's right.
You know, there's proposals. I'm not advocating for this. I don't know that much about the ins and outs. But, you know, what I've seen discussed are even just temporary lifts so that people can get a hold of it now and then maybe down the line. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
that's
but also,
what the,
fuck this. Just lift that, it.
That's what the big push from all these countries and organizations is. It's a temporary lift.
It's a temporary lift.
But also, like, and this is something I hear a lot as, like, a reason not to. Because lifting the patent, like, that's not going to solve it. That's
no.
not going to make it that doesn't equal they can make it now. A lot of the, because a lot of the information isn't in the patent, like a lot of the information on how to manufacture it is all, a lot of it is like, you know, it's new technology. We like, we're doing this, it's a what the vaccine is, it's wild that we got it in just under a year. You know, the supply chain, having the supplies to actually make it, there's the, like, literally, like, not only like the technology to do it, but knowledge of how to manufacture it. And there's all this other information, which is being cited as a reason not to do this one thing. As it, it's like, it's a weird, I've just seen it a lot where it's like framing it as though like, well, because that's not going to solve the whole problem, you shouldn't do that one. Introducing right. like the idea of complexity as a reason that step one isn't taken. And it's silly.
How about everything that can be done should be done?
Let's open up everything else because again, this is a it's a global pandemic. And right. it's probably not going to be the last.
I mean, here, yep, that's a good
and
point.
The innovation that like, also like the innovation that everyone's talking about, like, oh, well, if you don't do that, then all these companies won't want to do it because they won't make money. Moderna's largely taxpayer funded. Like the U.S. government funded the development of that vaccine. Not all of them, but like.
But yeah, to all of these points, this is from CNBC. 2/3 of epidemiologists surveyed at some of the world's leading academic institutions warned COVID mutations could render current vaccines ineffective in a year or less. The survey published on March 30th interviewed 77 epidemiologists from 28 countries. And to what you said, Cody, about other pandemics, because I think that's something we should all be thinking about in terms of a possibility in our lifetimes, even as climate change and conditions accelerate. And we might see another pandemic like this, and we need to be able to act quicker and do whatever it takes to stop this shit. And it's going to include working together collaboratively globally.
Yeah, I mean, that's how these got developed, by sharing information and like cooperating. Yeah. It's kind of ghoulish to not do that. There's this quote from Bill Gates that I think is very interesting in talking about this. It's from January, where he's talking about just like access, because, you know, he's sort of lifted up as like he made like $22 billion last year. You know, he's big on global health and all these initiatives from a philanthropic sort of perspective while making $22 billion during a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. He's talking about this vaccine and said, it's the classic situation in global health where the advocates all of a sudden want the vaccine for $0 and right away. And it's just, it's...
Yeah, exactly.
They do. Like, there are a few other quotes even from recently, from I think yesterday, talking about how like, no, we can't do this because of the manufacturing, because of the resources, and opening this up won't actually make more vaccines available right now. And like, it's just this weird gatekeeping from him. It's just a gross way to approach this situation. Not just from like, well, actually, we all need to get vaccinated so we can avoid,
right.
You know, the problem. But like, just again, like morally, yeah. like all these sort of approaches, if you share information and if you share technology, if you do all these things, other people will probably build upon those.
It's and just like, that's the mindset in general that we need to survive the different challenges that we face. Climate, pandemics, you know, economics, natural disasters.
Yeah. And I saw like another quote, like talking about this and sort of like framing it like, well, you know, if you do this, and that would lead to like other, you know, other nations like Russia and Korea, developing vaccines. And it's like, well, yeah, yes. What's the point? What's the problem other than you want keep money? That's the thing.
Well, the struggle, the internal struggle, I feel like, for people like Bill Gates and the Elon Musk and the Jeff Bezos, is they're all kind of nerds, and so they all want a Star Trek future, but they want to skip the part where we eliminate money.
Yep.
Yeah. They want to skip the part where like we don't have billionaires, and that's the problem.
They want to be the billionaire in Star Trek, but like those aren't a thing.
I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about, technology and how we advance. And it often is that technology does come first, but it has to be the right technologies. And then we have to make the right advancements. And now a lot of what we have to advance is the way we think.
Right.
As opposed to, like, we have the technology, but it doesn't, you know, an electric car means nothing if it's $100,000 to buy, you know.
For a few people to be burned alive under the ground in a flashy tunnel. And like, it's because also all these people constantly talk about like, you know, the Bill Gates of the world and Musk, are like the democratization of information and this and like, oh, the internet and like all the technological advancements of the 21st century and all these things. It's like, well, yeah, so that's there's right. a resistance to like really go all in on that idea, which again, it's because they want to be the guy, right? They want to be the
They want to have more. Just in case it all goes wrong, hopefully they'll have a bunker. Good for them.
Yeah,
they can hide in their bunker
on the moon or something.
Meanwhile, not all lawmakers, but certainly a lot, are pressuring Biden to change the U.S.'s position on this. And I'm just like, I know that I don't know that that would change everything, but I do believe that if the United States took a different stance, that that would have a lot of pressure on other countries to do.
I mean,
the same
wasn't
thing.
That the whole point of like one of the big reasons that like Trump's bad because he's the U.S. is the golden city, we're the best, and we lead the world, and now he's like making our standing so much worse. Like, okay, so if you want to do it, you want to be the leader of the free world, do it.
Put your money where your mouth is.
And like, you know that like if you do this, others will follow. That's the whole point.
Or maybe not, is something that I'll tease for our next segment that we'll get to when we return from the break that's happening right now.
Goodness gracious.
Hi. You know what's in front of you? The future. And in the future, we, Cody and myself, are both looking forward to cooking with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, once they arrive. We've ordered them. They're coming soon. And HelloFresh is offering you 12 free meals, including free shipping, when you go to HelloFresh.com/morenews12 and use code morenews12.
HelloFresh delivers fresh, high-quality, pre-portioned ingredients so you can make meals that are delicious and nutritious without doing, you know, a lot of work, whether that work involves thinking about what you want to eat or make, thinking about how to make it well or how to make it good for you, or buying the ingredients or preparing the ingredients or putting those ingredients together. You get the idea.
I do. You know what else I get?
The future.
No. Well, yes, but also bonus points, because according to a study from the University of Michigan, HelloFresh is the first carbon neutral meal kit, offsetting 100% of carbon emissions. As a result, HelloFresh's carbon footprint is 25% lower than store-bought, grocery-made meals.
HelloFresh also offers flexibility so you can customize your orders every week. Instead of something delicious and nutritious, you could try something else delicious and nutritious. You can add extra proteins and sides, change up the serving size when you have guests or are just particularly hungry, or you can double up on your favorite recipes, or you can finish this list of options now.
Like I already mentioned, we haven't gotten our boxes yet, but I can't tell you how excited I am to toss some stuff together, go, and pretend that I made it all by myself. So just go to HelloFresh.com/morenews12 and use code morenews12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. And we are back, as promised, for more news, more Biden talk, talking about
Joseph
Biden.
Robinette.
Joseph Robinette, Joe Biden. Joe Biden's climate change summit. So he had one. Last week, a virtual one. We're going to talk about it a bit, mostly because I personally don't find it very reassuring. Like things seem bad out there. During the summit, they pledged to slash U.S. emissions by 50%, probably maybe 50% by 2030, which they are framing as very progressive. It is the most aggressive cut from a president, but it's kind of hard to see how they plan to get there without passing major legislation. We'll get to that in a minute. They also pledged $1.2 billion for the Green Climate Fund, which is designed to help poorer countries address climate change. But that number was received as a drop in the bucket. And the goal of this virtual summit was apparently to hopefully inspire other countries to follow suit. It was also to try and reverse the damage done by President Trump in terms of our international credibility, to show that we have the political will to step up and be a leader. However, none of those things seem to be going over well just yet. This is from Politico. The limits of America's influence were clear. Australia, India, Indonesia, Mexico, and Russia made no new pledges to cut down on oil, gas, or coal. Some countries said that they were being asked for sacrifices, even though they had contributed little to the problem and that they needed money to cope. Away from the summit, the Chinese foreign minister demonstrated the difficulties the Biden administration faces in working with a country most crucial to lowering global greenhouse gas emissions. The minister, Wang Yi, warned that Chinese cooperation would depend on how the United States responded to Beijing's policies regarding Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Xinjiang province. So part of the problem, as I mentioned earlier, is that it's very hard to trust that Biden will be able to pass legislation that'll actually do anything, you know? Meeting the goals outlined would require passing the American Jobs Act, something which we did go over a little bit a few weeks ago. A lot of his infrastructure plans that they have put out are in fact designed to kind of fight climate change. But there's just a lot of uncertainty out there for American politics. Yeah. So people aren't quick to think like, yeah, he'll be able to do it. It's just words.
Yeah. We're as bad as a country that keeps having like coups. Like we only have our first coup so far, but like it's that thing is like there's new leadership and they're like, okay guys, we're doing this. We're serious now. And it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see you in four.
Right. Yeah. We're a very serious nation. We really have our stuff.
Yeah.
Together,
it's like,
right?
we have two parties. We're just, we're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, it's just, I can't imagine being a country and hearing the United States like, all right, let's do it, guys. You guys have to too. And it's like,
yeah. 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 Well, you shit. Like, what are you doing?
Also,
yeah.
I mean, just in general, we're 3 months into his presidency. And I know that's still new, but there really hasn't been significant action from this administration in terms of climate change. You know, there's some talk of things, but
a lot of talk. Yeah.
A lot of talk. And I mean, sure, it's hard, but this is also from political. Many important capitals don't yet have a United States ambassador in place, let alone diplomats versed in the science and economics of climate policy. I mean, those are just things that out of the gate need to happen to signal that you're ready to move forward and doing actual changes.
We've been soaking the dishes in the sink for like days, you know. It's that equivalent. We're like, yeah, we're gonna
unless
do
you
it.
Put a little elbow grease down. In that shit's not coming off, honey.
Yeah, exactly.
Sooner or later,
like, we just got to do it,
you know. And yeah. And you know, they're pretty vague about how they expect to make this happen, like pointing to the, you know, his infrastructure plans. Okay, executive action, they'll say there's a lot we can do. Well, there actually isn't that much you can do from executive action. For one thing, it can be reversed by the next guy. But also in terms of infrastructure and funding and like just the organization that will need to be in place in order to pull some things off.
One thing that would maybe help is like free college for people.
Oh.
If you want to like make a bunch of new infrastructure and update technology and you're going to need people who know how to do those things.
Right.
Like there's it,
main. Yeah. Mainly paper straws.
Yeah. Mainly.
But
mainly.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
good
yeah.
too.
Mainly.
Yeah.
Mainly. I mean, I'm not.
New
you know,
types
I'm
of.
Going for a holistic approach, you know.
New types of plastic drinking containers that do not need straws. They're just plastic themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always blown away by that, by places that don't have straws, but they do have plastic cups that have the little sippy cup thing. And you're like, well, that, okay. The Republican response, of course.
Can I read it? Can I read it?
The Republican response?
Yeah. So, and I quote,
Yeah, he got it. You verbatim.
Nailed it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they saw this as a chance to reignite some favorite talking points, further highlighting how difficult a task it will be to make any sort of meaningful change. One of those talking points, of course, being that Biden is taking away your red meat.
Again, this is why other countries, it's like, why they don't trust us.
And
it's
why they
like
shouldn't.
It's like we're doing like a daycare application talking about how nice our kid is while the kid can be seen out the window taking a dump on the car. Like it's like, of course we're going to do it. Meanwhile, half the country is like yelling about hamburgers. And it's like, yeah, this is exactly why you're not going to do it or why it's going to take fucking forever. Cause This is like talking to children.
Yeah.
With this.
Also,
stuff.
Yeah, red meat. It's bad for the environment. It's true, well, but that's not in this.
Well, right. It's completely made up that he did that, but it's also like, yeah, we should consider like reducing meat consumption.
now that you mention it,
no, he didn't. But I wish
meat.
He would.
Right, right.
But yeah, to be clear, absolutely no calls have been made to limit meat eating. This is from the Washington Post. Instead, conservative ire was sparked by a Daily Mail article that baselessly speculated about measures that could accomplish Biden's goal of cutting greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. Biden's lack of specifics led the Daily Mail to write about what, quote, life could look like under the plan, citing a University of Michigan study on the impact of limiting meat consumption. So they're just doing their own research, right? And seeing that meat is bad. And then before anybody's even pitching it, saying, back
no,
off.
Yeah, no, they always, like, this is like, okay, this thing says, like, this, therefore, you know, they're going to take away water from you. They're taking away our soda pop. We need more plant-based beer.
Yeah.
That's a phrase.
They know exactly somewhere. What they're
yeah,
doing.
They do.
It's, they know that people, when they hear they'll take away your hamburgers, they can actually wield that.
It's literally Frank throwing Frank, red meat. It's throwing red meat in the
Frank
water.
Luntz.
Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Frank Luntz tested that and it worked really well and introduced it. That's a joke. He did.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did. He might have.
But like it is like it shows a level of desperation, like, because like there's always going to be pundits and, you know, your Tucker Carlsons and so on saying this stuff. But when it starts becoming politicians doing it, it's like, man, you guys are really, like, you're running out of ideas.
Oh yeah. Like it's pathetic and it's transparent and they're all doing.
Yeah.
Like,
and it
all,
works.
It works. And they're all doing it because they know it works. Yeah. Like you have fucking Josh Hawley tweeting like about how, oh, you don't like, I didn't include this thing in my book. Buy my book to own the libs. Like literally senators saying buy my book
right.
to own the libs. Nothing means anything. This is all, it's all
yeah.
bullshit. So,
all that said, like, yeah, we really should get rid of some of this meat, which is funny because it's like you kind of like I'm balancing both where it's like this is bullshit, but also we should.
I know.
Oh, yeah, it's also the, yeah,
it's a
like
weird
with,
psychological somersaults I'm taking here.
It's the constant frustration for all this stuff. Like again,
yeah.
like Holly and these twerps, like big tech. Oh, we gotta do it because they're too woke. It's like, well, that's not why, but yeah, like big tech, like break
yeah
yeah break them up like you, but like but it's
yeah.
because of this
but
wokeness culture
reason.
War bullshit and yeah it's
yeah.
it's very frustrating to support literally anybody for any
uh-huh it's exhausting. You guys eat meat
yep.
right you guys have eaten meat more than
yes
meat
I don't eat beef
earlier,
or
later.
Pork or anything.
Yeah, because I don't remember what meat tastes like, but like, is Impossible Burger, is it? Are we
it's
getting
pretty
there?
Good.
How
I
are
think
we?
Getting there.
It is?
That's the closest I've had to eating meat since I was 16. And
yeah.
at first, I couldn't stand them because it tasted too much like meat to me.
Yeah,
I just don't
right.
like meat. But I like the Beyond Burger a little bit more than the Impossible yeah. one. And I
like Beyond,
do,
yeah.
You know, I have no problem with just like a bean and rice and whatever vegetable patty. I think those are great, but there's something nice about one, like a something that
mm-hmm.
actually has protein in it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I like them. I when I want burger, I look for who has an Impossible Burger available. And it's always like,
okay,
this is pretty much a burger. I'm actually
you
like,
should try
very,
the Beyond one.
I've had Beyond at other places, I think.
Yeah.
It's been
yeah.
a while. I would be very curious to see if like a fast food chain switched to Impossible meat without
people,
telling anybody
yeah.
and seeing what would happen.
They probably legally can't
was,
do that.
Oh no, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's like I'm you know, they shouldn't do that because that's like very misleading and
I wonder if
but,
you can like I wonder if there can be beef patties that are a little bit Impossible Burger, where like the idea that you phase them out or like you're
right.
That's interesting.
Required,
you use,
again,
you
this,
use
this,
less meat
I think,
for each one. Right?
Yeah, I think people listening who like meat, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
It sounds dystopian, and I get it because it's not just burger patties. It's there's other things you can do with meat.
Yeah, I mean they've
well,
like
they've
Impossible
also got
sausage.
The ground
they've
meat.
Got all kinds.
I've got
of,
a package
yeah.
of the ground stuff in the freezer, so you can make
mm-hmm.
a sauce or anything.
Do some stuffed
taco
peppers.
Meat.
I've done it. With, I've done taco meat with the Impossible
I,
meat.
I
so,
do know that
so
it's there. A lot
yeah.
to ask for people who are meat eaters. But I think the step is stepping towards it. Doing what you can to eat less meat is a good step forward and a start.
I honestly, like, the Impossible Burgers and stuff are good, but if you don't eat, or if you eat meat and you want to try a veggie burger, honestly, the ones that are like patties that are like a little less like meat, those are also very good. They're just a
you need to know that you're not eating a burger.
Yeah. Like I think Impossible has made it so that it is so close that it doesn't feel like you're eating like a pale imitation. Mm-hmm. But for a while, it was like the best ones weren't the ones that were trying to be meat. They were the ones that are trying to be something else.
Yeah, that's my main issue when I first tried to stop eating meat with like vegan food, like 9 years ago, was like, all your food is trying to be other food that I love. Make your own food. Take your ingredients and make your own food, and I'll be like, oh, I'll try this new food, but don't like put like cashew sauce
on it. Call
it
what it
is. Don't say this is pizza. That's not pizza. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I've been really sad that, what was it called? Hufu? Didn't take off. It was the tofu. It was the soy product designed to taste like human flesh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Delicious, right? You guys both look like you both look. Like, why
we
not?
We should have taken the picture for social media right now.
we have that technology. Why not simulate it?
Everyone
will go around having a taste for human flesh. We'll all be a bunch of sharks.
We're not going to go applying that logic to things now.
The McFlesh?
Ew.
Do you not want to try at McDonald's the McFlesh?
Well, if we still worked at Cracked, we'd have some sketches in here. We are going to talk about other things, but I think we'll just wrap this up here. This seems like a good note to end on, the McFlesh. Dave, tell everybody where they can check you out. Find you.
Oh, no.
Check you out.
That's right.
I'm on Twitter at Movie Hooligan. I also have a Patreon with Time Roman. It's Gamefully Unemployed. You go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do movie stuff. It's mostly movie stuff.
Do it.
We're also on the SoundCloud as Story Mode. Check us out. It's cool. We're cool.
They're cool. We're cool. Everybody's cool.
They're cool. They're cool and fun. Yeah.
And real quick, just in case you forgot, you're cool, you're fun, and we love you very much.
Mm-hmm.